What song do you want to hear, Dan?
Beer!
You are now listening to America's favorite craft beer podcast, a show that covers tricks, tips, and trends inside the craft beer industry. I am your host, craft beer enthusiast, Tom Simpson. Next to me, my co-host, a man with more untapped check-ins than you have steps on your Fitbit, the adjunct professor himself, Mr. Dan Powell. Tune in, sit down, and drink up. And most importantly, thank you for joining us on another episode of America the Brew.
I'll do it all again. I guess I'll have to wait until then. And if I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more. And if you're drinking, well, you know that you're my friend. And I say, I think I'll have.
Season 2, episode 10 of America the Brewtiful. We have a very special episode for you today.
We are broadcasting from parts unknown, New Jersey. From what might be considered by some as a beer festival, and by some, a gathering of friends with good beer. Much like the elusive Sasquatch, Squatch Fest is somewhat of a secret. A secret that we're going to tell you more about today.
Very nice. Very nice job there. Very nice job, Dan. So we will also be talking to Bobby from Eskerhart. We've had him on the show before. You guys have probably heard. We'll be talking about his new beers. We'll talk to Scott of Lorenzo the Beer Cat fame. No Beer Cat, no problem. About a list that came out of the 13 best breweries in New Jersey. You can never satisfy everyone with these lists come out. So we'll talk about who made it and who got snubs.
And of course, we're going to talk about new releases, a ton of them, a ton of local ones that are super cool.
Yeah, well, before we do that, we got to open a beer.
Okay, so this is the first beer of the day. We are at Squatch Fest. I figured this would be something pretty appropriate. This is from Three Sons. This is Lumberjack Morning Break. And it's funny, you know, this is the 2020 version.
Okay.
I believe in one of our first episodes, we popped one of these.
I'm sure that we did. That was a festival-only beer, right? Was that
correct?
That's
yes,
right. You had
yes.
to get tickets to the Lumberjack Festival.
And Lumberjack Day, for those of you who have never been, and, you know, I don't know when it's coming back in a meaningful way, you know, because of COVID and different things. One of the best festivals ever to go to. It's usually the day after Wakefest. So if you're down in that Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, it's something you should check out. They got not as many breweries, not as congested, but the lines are limited because
it's
they
great.
Cut off the amount of people that can be there. And fantastic beers. So it's something you should definitely check out if you haven't before.
So Lumberjack Morning Break. We didn't even say what this was. You know, it's a bourbon barrel-aged imperial maple coffee stout. Now, there's tons of maple in here, right?
I mean, on the nose, it's insane. The maple, and this is already probably almost 2 years old now, and it's
you got
great
a lot of adjuncts in there.
All right, so we're going to come back. We're going to tell you guys about Squatch Fest. What is it? Why are we here? All that coming up after this.
You've got a lot of experience as a reporter. What's your attitude about Sasquatch?
Well, I've been investigating these reports and so on, and it seems to me that there's a preponderance of evidence, and I'm, let's say, 95-98% that there is such an animal. I want to see one, but I think there is.
Season 2, Episode 10, America the Brewtiful. As we said before break, we are here at Squatch Fest. Squatch Fest 2021, the fifth edition of Squatch Fest. And who do we have sitting next to us? None other than the MC of Squatch Fest, Eddie.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Eddie.
I'm glad you guys came. Couldn't do this party without everyone who comes here every year.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So, you're welcome.
So tell us, like, you know, how did this get started? How did it turn from where it began to where it is now?
So Squatch Fest started because I had gone to a beer share at a friend's house, and they had a homebrew fest going on, and it piqued my interest, and I had already been talking to Bobby D'Angelo of Eskerhart, and we started collaborating on this idea of doing our own beer fest, and it was born out of that. It was just born out of, you know, seeing other people do this stuff.
Now, just to give everybody a lay of the land, this is not like you didn't go rent something out somewhere. We are on like a big, beautiful piece of property that is actually your family's piece of property. It's super, super nice.
Yeah, we do this. I mean, it's a private event. It's on, like, you know, it's a residential neighborhood. But we do it here because it's very peaceful. It's a quiet neighborhood. And we like to shake things up a little bit around here.
So right now, we are on the porch. We got a nice little spot. There's a humongous Sasquatch foot, which I think is not real, but I'm not sure, right next to us. How did the whole Squatch thing happen? What's that about?
All right, so the Squatch thing came out because with Esker Hart, most of his beers he names go with nature. Esker is a stone structure that looks like a railroad crossing or a railroad bridge, and it's natural. That's where Esker comes from. Hart is the street he lived on. So we kind of ran with this natural theme. The Squatch part was like, if we're going to make a beer, we want to make something big, like a barrel-aged stout, you know, something big. And what's the biggest thing in nature? Sasquatch. All right, well, he's, you know, not really real or whatever. But
we don't know that.
We don't know that. We'd like to think he is.
Yeah.
But we ran with the Squatch theme to make a big beer. And the Squatch thing was just like, all right, let's just run with this idea.
So it starts out, it's you and your buddies. You know, now it's got a lot of hype, right? Over the years.
I think so.
Over the years. Now you said, right, you had as much as 100 people here.
At
one point.
Yeah, before COVID.
How do you handle that now? Now that like kind of the word is getting out and people realize that Squatch Fest is real.
I mean, I think it's one of those things. You just take it day by day, and as the day progresses, like today, you'll see it's just shooting at the hip, really. You know, you're just going with the flow, trying to make sure everyone's comfortable here, trying to address everyone that comes here that I don't really know, because there's a lot of people here I don't know, but there I have. It's fine. Like, we all enjoy this craft beer thing, and it's a great way to just experience a day with other people.
And speaking of going with the flow, maybe you can hear it, maybe you can't. In the background, Informer's playing. When we came up, Rage Against the Machine was on. We've had a lot of actually
good,
like,
soundtrack.
Cool music, a lot from kind of when I was growing up. Who's in charge of the playlist? You?
Me and a couple other friends. This year we did a 90s theme. You'll see from the artwork with the lasers. It's like we kind of went with a 90s theme. So it's like all the music we're playing today right now is all 90s music. All different genres, you know. We started the day with like some rock and roll. Now we're going to get into like hip hop. You know, might get into a little some more like house music, and then at some point we're going to have a DJ come out and he'll play, you know, or more modern stuff.
Sorry, like, are you and Bobby, you guys go way back, or did you kind of come together with this festival here?
So, no, Bobby and I, we did not go way back. We were both from the same town. We knew some mutual people, but my good friend Jason was the person that tied us together. We started seeing each other on Untappd, drinking certain things, and then we started, like, let's have a share, let's do this. Bobby's into homebrew. Okay, let's, and we just, it just kind of just slow, it was a slow roll, and we just started growing this thing over, you know, over the start of our friendship.
Very
now,
cool.
And now Bobby has expanded his profile. People are, you know, lining up to get his beer. Every time he posts a beer, he can't keep up with the demand. And he has put in his Instagram stories about this event. I'm sure he's been asked about it. I'm sure there's been a lot of people that you don't know. You said there's some people you don't know here today. We just met you for the first time today. Mm-hmm. Any pressure, like, to expand it? Or, like, how do you cut people off sometimes? Like, you have to keep it to a certain amount of people, I would imagine.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's, you kind of just gauge everything. If I try to, like, you know, when people ask me to come, like, you know, I don't want to push people off. I don't really know. Like, I've never met you guys before. But, like, I have had very great experiences with craft beer, whether going to beer festivals, going to releases with breweries, and I've met some awesome people. So it doesn't really scare me too much to invite just people that I don't know, because people who tend to gravitate toward this hobby, because
yeah,
it is a hobby.
Certainly.
They like to share it.
Right.
And they appreciate the people they share it with. And that's why I think we've done this for so long, because we like sharing this with other people. We don't like having it just to ourselves. It's not about, you know, oh, I get this beer and I want to drink it by myself. No, I want to get a triple barrel Antide from Kane and share it with my friends, because they might not have gotten it. And I know they're going to appreciate, like, drinking that.
And that's one of the beers that came out earlier today. There's a lot of beers already on the table. There's a lot of beers. I have some in my bag right here that I'll pull out in a second. What are you most excited to try? And I know, obviously, Bobby brought some of his beers. Like, what beers are you excited to try today?
Honestly, the most excited beer I am to try tonight is Barrel Age Abraxas. Yeah, I've never had it. It's one of those, like, old whale.
Well, that was my when that was like the first whale I had, and I was like super excited about. I'm like, it's cinnamon, it's spicy, like this is gonna be the best beer I've ever had, because that's like my flavor profile for beers, like that kind of stout. So if you've never had it, that's exciting, man.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things. Years ago, you look at like the top beers, and that was on it maybe 5 years ago. Now it's not, because tastes change and everything like that. But you know. With this fat, like the share, people say, oh, I'm bringing this or that. And I'm like, you know, I'm not so much into the beer trading. I'll go to breweries and get stuff, but I don't go out of my way as much. But this kind of day it's like wonderful, because I can create this party and everyone brings the beer I didn't have to go get.
It's an opportunity to go all out. And, exactly. You know, it's a win-win. I think it's fantastic, right? My assumption was, I've seen this on Instagram even before we had Bobby on the show, you know, and I'm like, what the fuck is this, dude? This looks like a lot of fun. Like, I don't know what this is, but this looks cool. My assumption was that you guys were just buddies. So the fact that you brought all this together and it was because of craft beer is amazing.
And for those of you who don't know, you can't see this. This is a podcast. It's not a visual medium. There are, quote-unquote, life-size Sasquatches everywhere.
There
is. Wooden Sasquatches that are, like, 8 feet tall.
Yeah, all these cutouts that we made.
And it's super cool. It really gives you that kind of vibe. And, you know, thank you for inviting us here, because I'm having a lot of fun already.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you're the MC, Eddie. We're going to let you go in just a minute. But before we do, any plans for next year? Like a Squatch Fest 2022 already in the works? Or are you just trying to enjoy today?
It's Squatch Fest 2022 will happen, you know, after I decompress from this day. Because there's a lot of time spent. I mean, you guys have been here and you could see what we've crafted, like tables and... You know, we made a game this year, and it's not, I don't do this by myself at all. I have great friends that always pitch in, you know, and just listening to me yell at them about making something, and they do everything, like, so well. I couldn't ask for any, like, any better thing.
Dang.
And like you said with the visuals, this party wouldn't be what it would be without all of that. It's like, we have to put a little bit more into it to make it a little bit bigger. It's like I could just put up a sign or something, okay, but that's not really, it's just not enough. So I feel like every year I just have to make more and more and keep the old stuff, and it just keeps growing, and it's
very good.
You know, and as me and Tom drove up here, we're using Waze. We don't know, we've never been here before. Mm-hmm. And we're making a turn and boom, just a Sasquatch in the road. I'm like, I think we've arrived.
There you go.
You know, you got the T-shirt on with the 80s theme lasers. There's glasses. There's stickers.
Awesome glassware.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want one of those shirts or glass.
Oh, yeah.
I'll trade you a sticker. Sure.
No, we have tons of gear. We always make gear every year. And this year we tried to push the envelope with the artwork. Because, you know, if coming out of the first couple of months of COVID taught us anything, it's, you know what? We're all here for a certain amount of time, and it's like, gotta enjoy it. And we live in a world where, you know, you can come up with some cool artwork, and you can get it made as long as you got a credit card that can handle it.
There you
go. And, you know, and I love sharing this stuff with everybody. It's the best thing is when we come up with a piece of art and people respond to it, because that's what really matters. I'm not putting it out into the world for just me to enjoy it. I want to share it with other people. And if they sure. respond to it like I respond to it, or even more so, it's a great feeling. It really is.
Absolutely. Eddie, thank you very much. Thank you for inviting us. Thank you for sitting down with us. This is an awesome festival that you have here, and we're very happy that we get to be a part of it.
Dude, you guys are more than welcome to come every year. We do Splodge Fest.
Thank you.
We love it. We love throwing this party. It means a lot to us, and you know, we can't go through life just all, you know, being by ourselves about everything and drinking by ourselves in our house. Like, no, I want to get beers and I want to share with people. And if I meet you for the first time today, that doesn't matter. It's like I could have another friend for life because it has happened so many times in the craft beer world. It has happened so many times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, we're going to be right back and we're going to have Bobby from Esquire when we get back after this.
For decades, there have been countless reports of encounters with something deep in these woods, something big, something that can't be explained.
This is a great spot for Sasquatch to be.
Season 2, Episode 10 of America the Brutiful. We are broadcasting from Squatch Fest, and we have here Bobby from Esquire. Bobby, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for coming, and thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man, we are super excited. First of all, before we even start with anything, tell us what we're drinking in front of us right now.
So we're drinking Decidus, the vanilla variant. I did this collab with my buddies up at Counterpart Brewing, Greg and John. It's just a barrel-aged imperial stout aged in Heaven Hill barrels for, I believe, 22 months with Madagascar vanilla beans.
And I will tell you this. Never use the word just in describing this beer. This is awesome.
Very good.
Thank you.
Counterpart is up in Canada, right?
Yes.
Niagara. Okay, so what was the base beer here?
So it all started with, this was over 2 years ago now.
Because it has something to do with this festival, too.
Yeah,
right?
When they were in their first year of opening, and I went to school up there, so we became friendly, and he asked if I wanted to brew a beer with him. I was like, sure, and they hadn't brewed a beer this big yet at the time. So I sent him our squatch-based recipe for the squatch stout that we make. And the base of this started with that. We toggled back and forth between what malts they can get, what they can't get, and what would work on their system. And then it went from Squatch to Deciduous. And this ended up being the final product.
So we've talked about this before. We've talked about the Deciduous set. I've talked about the fact I made a trade with some dude from Canada who came down.
Yes,
you know, I met him in Brooklyn.
Awesome.
I toured him around a little bit. One of those weird beer stories. The ratings have been excellent. This beer is excellent.
Thank you. I have not
had the other two, but I do have the set. Let's talk about this, right? So how is it when you see all these people in New Jersey who have been trading for them? I know a bunch of people that I follow on Instagram who have gotten their hands on these, and that's international travel during COVID or international trading, and like from what I hear, it's a disaster.
A quarter
of the trades, like a quarter of the packages get confiscated.
Yeah. Trading with Canada in general is rough.
Yeah.
Really?
So I guess all that effort, like, how does that make you feel, like, seeing all that effort being done?
It's awesome. The fact that people want it so much, you know. I'm happy for the guys at Counterpart, because I know Greg always wanted to have these types of beers there, so I'm glad I was able to help him with that. And they did a great job. I just helped them. I went up there for the brew day. I kind of guided them with what I knew, and then they took it from there. And they did a phenomenal job, I think.
So now let's talk
it's
about
nice to bring that down here.
How many bottles were made of each? Do you know that number?
I know he sold to the public roughly 400 or so of each variant. I could be wrong about the base, but I believe the maple coffee and vanilla were around 400 bottles apiece. I don't know if he has more. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's sold around that much each.
Did you have any part in the barrel? Do they have like their own barrels that they use? Did you bring the barrels?
No. So yeah, that was all up to them. Apparently, it's a little harder to, like, you can't just go to a broker and request Pappy Van Winkle, you know, up there.
Okay.
Not that that's easy here, but it's easier to get choice barrels here than it is up in Canada. I know they went through a broker and they were able to get their hands on some Heaven Hill, which is sweet.
Nice.
Because those usually come out pretty nice. And they just stuck with the five Heaven Hill barrels that they got. And each one, I'm sure, tasted different. I didn't taste the barrels and they blended them.
So let's talk about this. You know, for those of you who haven't had any of your beer, get it. It's not going to be the easiest thing because when you make a batch, what kind of numbers are we running here? Sometimes as low as 40, sometimes as high as what?
Yeah, so typically I do roughly 17 ounce or 16.9 ounce 500 milliliter bottles. I'll get anywhere from 50 to 72 bottles. It depends on if it's a stout that's heavily adjuncted, it's way less than like a saison.
Right.
Typically 10 gallon batches.
So we're talking about 8 times the amount of bottles of these were potentially made. So how does it, you were able to get good ratings on these? Like, does that give you extra hope? I'm sure there's always, when somebody is a home brewer, there's always that probably not fear, but some kind of like, well, I made this and this is fantastic, but what happens when I make it at a bigger scale?
I compare it to like bringing it to life. Like, you know, you're doing it in your house, that's one thing, but then if you can scale it up to a production size brewery, the fact that it was successful made me very happy. You know, we took a lot of email threads back and forth, how are we going to tackle this, and you know, blah blah blah, and we got it. I think we got it on our first shot.
It's a beautiful beer.
One here, which is the vanilla, is amazing.
It's a great beer. So you brought this here today, Bobby. Yep. Now, but you also have a few beers on tap, right? A lot of people know Esker Hart for their dark beers.
Yep.
Is that fair to say? You're very good as a dark beer brewer, but what we have today on tap and what you brewed for this festival is very different.
Is
that correct?
Yes.
I've already had an IPA and a couple other ones. So why don't you tell us about what's on tap today?
Sure. So on tap, whenever we do this fest, I try to just kind of go a little bit out of my comfort zone. IPAs, if you've ever listened to me talk or whatever, are always my struggle. So my buddy Logan from Kane, I worked with him when I was there, and we got together and brewed this IPA. And he taught me a shit ton that I hadn't known before. And so we brewed an IPA with Citra, Simcoe, Centennial, and Mosaic. And it was a modern-day take on a West Coast IPA, so it had some West Coast influence, but still, you know, not overly bitter, not overly pine, just a little middle ground. So we brewed that up, and then I'm going to be straight up honest. I brewed a Berliner with with pineapple, vanilla, and coconut. Came out horrible.
Okay.
So I ended up scrapping that. And
that's a shame. That sounds amazing.
The coconut. It just.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it took a turn for the worst. Experimental issue. And so, fortunately, I have farmhouse and Saison stock in barrels at my house. Mm-hmm. So I was able to just pull 5 gallons of Saison and carb that up and put that on tap, too. So,
which is super clean. Like, super clean, super drinkable. I actually really enjoyed that.
Thank you. It's awesome. And then, so I got that on tap. And then I brewed a beer de champagne inspired, I'll call, beer about a year and a half ago for my wedding. That our wedding never happened because of COVID. So I said, I'll just leave it in barrels. Well, whenever I decide to use it, I'll use it. Honestly, probably way past its prime, but it came out cool.
It's a big boy too, right?
Yeah, 16%.
That's a big boy.
It's a big boy.
Yeah.
It was 16%. A year ago, too, just has been sitting. Honestly, it could be 18% by now. I don't know. But it was 16% when it went into barrels.
We'll see what my body says.
Exactly. It's 16%, too. But it was just a fun little project, so.
All right, very good. Yeah. So what's, we don't want to keep it too long. There's a great party. If you guys can hear the music in the background, I'm sure everybody's listening right now, like, what the fuck are these guys doing here? Very jealous that I don't get to be a part. But anyway. What's next for you? We talked to you a year ago, right? At that time, you were like, maybe thinking about turning professional, right? Trying to look for a space, possibly. Yep. Has there been any?
Yeah, I've been looking for spaces. Unfortunately, you know the housing market's absolutely bonkers right now.
Terrible. 100%. I mean, for a buyer.
Yeah.
A seller's amazing.
Exactly. Unfortunately, it's the same boat with commercial, though you might not think that with how crazy businesses are right now. It is. There's very little available, so my father and I are just working on trying to secure and find a space, and once we do, then we'll start rolling from there. But until then, just kind of making beer in the house.
I want to talk about, and forgive me if I botched the pronunciation, Mandorla. Okay, good. Yep. I didn't do too bad.
Not too bad, yeah.
Not too bad. I want to hear about that beer. I want to hear about that beer, and I want to hear about, you know, kind of everything you did, all the money you raised. Like, this is, like, a great story. We love to hear about it.
Yeah, so my good friend, Jose, Yankee beer owner, he came to me 2 years ago when he had his Malaysis Wings fundraiser at Other Half. and asked if I could brew beer for it. And I was like, absolutely, hands down. I asked him what flavors his mom liked when she was living. And he said, you know, some of her favorite flavors in desserts were coconut, almond, and chocolate. So I was like, all right, that's okay. Very easy to work
very
with.
Good taste,
I can do that. Yeah.
At least similar to mine.
Exactly. So I brewed up a beer called Mandorla, which is toasted coconut, Mandorla, toasted coconut, Marcona almonds, and coconuts for in a 12% Imperial Stout. And then, which eventually went into rye bourbon barrels for the event itself. Fast forward 2 years to now, I didn't have time to do the barrel age version, so I just brewed up an old batch of Mandorla and told him that, you know, different from previous year, I want to make whatever bottles I get, I want to do a raffle and just whatever money people donate, $5 a ticket, you get one entry into the lottery and nothing goes through me, they just go directly to the fundraiser and however much money we raise, like, that's yours. And
the fundraiser is Memorial Stoneman Kettering, correct?
Or? Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
It goes towards a cancer charity for his mom.
Very nice. So there's a bunch of great beer here today, including yours. Besides Eskar, what are you most excited to drink here today, Bobby?
So Oakflower brewed up a nice Helles lager.
Right in between your two beers.
Right in between. Came out real good. Really happy about that. It's nice to have some local homebrewer donate a keg for it, which is
That's pretty great.
And I know Erratic Fermentations has brought some bottles too. I've never had any of their beer, so it was nice to meet Mike, and I'm really excited to try his beer.
I hope the Old Ale is still, I know it was popped, I hope there's still some for you to try.
I guarantee it's probably not, but but if it is, I'd love to try. He brought me some bottles, okay. So hopefully that might be in there.
I want to backtrack a second. So again, how much money did you raise? It was $5 a ticket.
Yeah, sure. As of right now, we're up to just under 4,800.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's really awesome. I think we got about 2 weeks left of the raffle going, so it's been cool, man. My goal was $4,000, and we're close to $5,000. So
again, for those of you who don't know, who are interested in getting this beer, and or just interested in donating,
absolutely.
Tell everybody how to do it.
If you go to my Instagram page, Esker Hart on Instagram, the link in my bio will bring you right to the donation link. You screenshot your donation, you can send it to me, or you just donate on your own and you don't care about the beer at all. So either way, the donation goes to a good cause.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win for
everybody.
And if
you don't care at all, you should still send it, try to win it, and then if you do, you can send it to me. That's a
win for everybody.
Very nice, Dan. And with that, we're going to take a break. But before we do, I just want to say, Bobby, thank you very much for joining us again on America the Brutiful, the podcast. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you inviting us here. It's a great time. And, you know, we wish nothing but the best for you, Bobby.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. It was great to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you as well. Cheers. All right, guys, we will be right back with Scott from Lorenzo the Beer Cat after this.
The Garden State might just be a hot spot for Bigfoot sightings. The latest from a couple in Pine Barrens. They claim to have spotted the ape-like creature while driving past a heavily wooded area. They say it ran onto the road before disappearing into the forest.
Season 2, Episode 10 of America the Brutiful. We are here at Squatch Fest, as you probably know if you've been listening. We've had Eddie, the MC of Squatch Fest. We've had Bobby, the home brewer extraordinaire of Squatch Fest, and now we have everybody's favorite New Jersey cat, Scott,
the voice of Lorenzo the Beer Cat.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on here.
Thank you for joining us, and dude, it's awesome. Also, the weather's perfect today. We are going to talk about this list that just came out from Hop Culture, and it is the top 13 breweries in the state of New Jersey. Before we get into that, though, you brought a beer for us to try. What is it? And let's have some.
So this is, of course, District 96, father of all photobombs, a classic triple that was right off the line this week.
One literally, of the highest rated beers that District 96 has ever done.
It's a great hazy. Great hazy.
A lot of people's favorite of the district line. What else is going on with them before we get to this New Jersey list?
Yeah, we got to plug the old crew.
Of course.
Right now, it's a big old lead up into November. It's we just talked a lot, like the last time I was on, about a lot of things that we have coming up. But even since then, November is looking like insane. When I tell you that the collabs that are becoming out, John has reached out and Rob and I have kind of reached out to a bunch of breweries. Some you've seen, some you haven't seen before. Some, like, you know, you always see these breweries like, okay, well, it's this time of year. Oh, it's time to do a Wakefield collab, you know. And in the past, that just meant like doing the same beer again that you did the year before.
Sure. Sure.
Now it's kind of everything's evolving. And now it's like, well, let's not just do the same Wakefield collab. Let's go in and let's get a new collab on the books. Let's maybe do something a little bit different. You know, you're going to go as far west. I mean, you're going to see some West Coast breweries that are going to be coming in for Pastry Town. And that was really the precipice for all this was like, you're going to have some killer breweries that are going to be in town. Let's take advantage of it. Let's invite them out to New City. Let's get them here. Let's do some meet and greets and let's set up some collabs for the days before, the days after, you know, and that's really it. I mean, I don't want to, you know, blow the news right out the water with who they are, but there's some good, they're two San Diego, they're two good San Diego breweries that we've reached out to, that you'll be seeing. And that's where I'll leave it at that. San Diego is where we're working with right
for
now.
People that,
not monkish.
There we go. For people that don't know, I mean, you know, New City is very close to Brooklyn. It's not far at all, right? District 96 Tap Room is...
It's not convenient, though. It's not like...
It's not convenient, but somebody... Let's say that somebody's listening...
If you're coming from California, you don't think it's that big. No.
Right. Let's say that somebody's listening and they're going to Pastry Town and they want to make an event. They want to make like a day trip. They can easily get to New City or District 96 within
an hour.
As
long as they don't drive after Pastry Town, yes.
That's true. They're going to be there for a couple days.
I think Beacon's easy to get to from the train. Nyack is easy to get to from the train, which, you know, I think Nyack is going to be a huge play when the new location opens up. But from Nyack, it's a 15-minute drive.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's like anything. Where the train stops at.
Yeah.
Right.
New City is, you know, off the train, it is a pain in the butt to get there from the New York. And the funny thing is, with a lot of these breweries, they're like, oh, you know, New City, New York. It's like, no, it's not New York City. It's New City. It's
right.
It's in, you know, it's outside New York State. So.
Yep. This, by the way, is fantastic.
It's very good. It's very good. Fantastic. This is a sing brew, yeah?
Sung.
Sung brew.
Sing, sang, sung. Yes, sing, this sang, is sung. Sung. So I think I was talking to Dan a little bit about it before. It's like you're seeing some beers that are coming out like Hazy Politics and Sea Snake and Father of All Photo Bombs. And it's like they're classic. Social Anxiety was another one. So we reached out to a lot of the you know, the Snake Den members in our Facebook group, and I was like, well, what do you want to see next? Like, what do you want to see that you haven't seen in a while? And Social Anxiety, Father of All Photo Bombs, these were all beers that Sea Snake is always, like, they're fan favorites. And sure. You have these rolls of labels sitting up on the shelf, and you're like, you know, let's let Sung have a shot at these beers. Like, these are not beers that he was able to go full on, like, you know, these were the, you know, Chase's beers. And it's good to see that these beers are coming out, and they're just as good. I mean, I can't say that having this last batch of Sea Snake that anybody would say that it's fucking phenomenal. I mean, just as good as batch one, just as good as batch two. So I think once we kind of move through some of these, and then you're gonna see some new Sung beers coming out.
And I would say, you know, you ask most people that have had a ton of District beers. I haven't looked at the Untappd ratings. I would guess Father of All Photo Bombs is probably top three or four of beers that are regularly released. We're not talking about the Haze Boys collab that, you know.
Sure.
The
draft only at yes, Tap House 15.
Yeah. But this is one of the better beers that District has ever released, and it's delicious.
Yeah, it is. So let's get to this. Right? We have Scott on, you know, a big influencer. An Untappd ambassador, if you will, right? Recently Hop Culture came out with their list of the top 13 breweries in the state of New Jersey, right? These lists are always a source of debate. So let's go through this list, all right? We'll put it together, we'll talk about it, and we'll see whether they nailed it or whether they were way off.
Right, right. So here's some of the breweries. I'll go through a few. Tom, you go through a few. Troon, I think everyone expected that. Kane,
of course.
You know, of course. You know, Carton has been around forever. Of course they're on it.
Are they listed in any particular order?
They
or
are not.
Okay.
Well, they're listed in not alphabetical order, but they're not ranked. I'll say that. They're just listed. Referend.
Of course, for now.
Yes. you know, this will be the last year that they will be eligible for this list.
Correct.
Conclave, Twin Elephant.
Beautiful.
You know, yes. we love Twin Elephant and the people that work there.
You got Icarus, Brix, The Seed. Now we have an interesting one right here.
Yeah.
Mindful Ales.
Yeah. Okay. That was an interesting one to see on this list.
Certainly.
Just because homebrewer, you know, I think he has his LLC. I don't know what the rules are for what is on this list, what is not.
I mean, it's Dave Martin. I mean, everybody that knows Mindful Ales knows that Dave brews beautiful beers, knows that Jersey City's where he's going to make his home eventually. You know, this is not some official list that people are going to get all butthurt about. I mean, quite honestly, if you don't, Dave should be on the list.
People will get butthurt about this list. That will happen.
But I'm saying, seeing Dave and seeing Mindful Ales on there, you know, okay, yes, is he officially an established brewery right now? No, but even if Bobby Eskart was on this list, you know, enough people know about them. I mean, they probably could have been a left off just to leave it to breweries that were already established and that have a tap room, you know. But it's hop culture. They're going to, you know, it's their list. I can make
a list.
Of
course.
I can make a list. Anybody can make a list. This is their list.
And Mindful's been on national lists that they've made.
Yeah,
so.
It's There's no right or wrong. It's what hop culture wanted to do, who they have relationships with, what beers they've tried, and, you know.
And Dave is plugged into that scene. You know, Dave and Jason are good friends. Jason was wrote for hop culture.
They,
you know,
collab
so they,
together.
They know each other very well.
One brewery that you know very well in your sort of backyard, Magnify, on this list as well. I don't think that was a surprise.
Nope.
But then two breweries that I haven't had much of, and Tom, I don't know how much you've had of them.
If I've had either of them, it may have been at, like, the Brick Farm Beer Fest.
Sure.
Right.
Which ones are they? I don't know.
That's Double Nickel.
Okay, nope. And, where are they at?
I don't even know.
They're in Pensauken, I believe.
Okay.
So near Philly, you know.
And Backward Flag, which, again, I haven't had that.
I'm thinking maybe Altogether Beer I might have.
Right, and Backward Flag is a veteran-owned brewery.
Yeah.
Hop culture likes to do a lot of kind of progressive things, you know, breweries that are interesting. They named Weathered Souls their number one brewery for everything they did for last year for Black is Beautiful. Maybe that had something to do with it. But to be honest, I haven't had much Double Nickel. I haven't had much Backward Flag.
I think that these lists, personally, should evoke not – it shouldn't just be something like if all of a sudden you just listed – 13 beers that everybody's had and everybody's seen, and you can walk into any liquor store where everybody knows about it from a beer event, then the list is boring. Give me a little controversy. Give me a little something that I don't know about. Let me go and follow one of these. I mean, that's when I see a list. I mean, even when they did their influencer list, I mean, there was probably 10 or 15 that I'd never heard about, and I went in and started following to see what the hubbub was about.
And by the way, Scott was on the list.
And Rob wasn't. The Hayes Boys wasn't on that list.
That's right.
So
that's
the only reason I brought that up. For no other reason. And
it was a travesty. It was a travesty. But that's beside the point.
But so let's look at who was left off. You know, obviously hundreds of New Jersey breweries, but, you know, Source, Tonewood, Heavy Real, Bolero, Muckraker, Alternate Ending, a lot.
By the way, you can make an argument for any one of those brewers, but, you know, particularly Muckraker. Right, I think that Muckraker brews beer that a lot of people aren't even capable of brewing.
Yeah, well, that's I think definitely.
You
know,
it's also, I mean, I think they're not too far from me where I live, so I know about them, and I've had friends even in the city that have memberships to them. A lot of that gets to the brewery themselves and the owners and how much they put themselves out there. How much are they trying to more known? I mean, I'm not trying to say that they need to reach out to hop culture, but if hop culture doesn't know about you, or if people aren't talking about you, then there's, you know, it's just because you're a hidden little gem. Maybe you want to stay that way. I don't know.
I mean, these lists are always debated at great length. I mean, two things I would think, you know, Bolero has more distribution in the state probably than any other microbrew, maybe Kane. Those are the two that, you know, you can find anywhere in the state if you go into a good liquor store or bar. So I was a little surprised not to see them. And Source, you know, they opened. Everything sold out super quick. I mean, it may not be as much now, but surprised not to see them.
I will tell you this. When I talk to friends who are not craft beer people, per se, but will go to the liquor store and don't buy Corona or Budweiser, when I ask them, do you like craft beer? They say, yeah, I love Bolero Source. You know, there's a lot of people that, like, are just like your liquor store guys that aren't going to the brewery, that aren't traveling.
They're not waiting at 6 in the morning.
That's correct. They're not going to anniversaries or pastry town. And they know Bolero Snort as like local craft beer. And I think that there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. You know, and then Tonewood, a brewery that admittedly I haven't had that much of. I've had Fuego and a few things. A lot of my friends that are from southern Jersey, and we don't need to get into what's north, south, central Jersey, but the ones near, you know, the ones near Philadelphia, a lot of people love Tonewood. So I was kind of expecting them to be in there just to kind of give the state demographic. Double Nickel, I think, is in that area, and they got that representation. And we'll talk a little bit about them in our next thing when we talk about releases, but really interesting to see them there. And honestly, it makes me want to try some of their stuff because sure. I don't know their stuff.
Of course. Of course. I don't know, you know. I have no idea.
I've never had Tonewood, so I don't know much about them. But like you said, they're near Philly, so it's outside my reach. And I think there's a lot of South Jersey breweries besides the Canes and Cartons of the world that you will see on these lists. You know, you could look at, you know, something like Heavy Reel and, you know, that are up and coming. And, I mean, I think the one thing I learned from All Together Beer when I was getting all of these sent to me and from around Jersey, there is so many South Jersey breweries that you guys maybe are a little bit more in touch with than I am, but I think that there's a lot more up and coming. So this list, it'd be interesting to look at this list in 2022 to see, right, you know, if they do it again. You know, who's to say that they're going to do this again? But, you know, what changes? Who's off? Who's
absolutely
on? Who's,
all right,
because that changes. Hype changes.
Sure,
from right, a drop of a dime, one minute to the other.
I'm going
to
take this opportunity because I got two guys sitting in front of me: Scott, Dan.
Yeah,
who've been in the game for a while, who are intimately know a lot of breweries and brewers and beer styles. Who is making the best beer in the state of New Jersey? The best beer.
Why are you?
Who's making the best beer? You're not knocking anybody. I'm just saying, in your opinion, who's making the best beer?
People don't realize how big Jersey is, right? Like, you know, it is more of a regionalized thing, and anybody that knows beer in New Jersey knows the struggles that breweries go through in this state. Right, and to see all of these breweries now coming up, it's so great because there was towns that just weren't for it. I mean, I think Kane, obviously, anybody that you're going to get would tell you Kane's the best brewery in New Jersey, but it's an hour and a half from me, so I'm not. I look at them as more of a summertime thing. If I'm coming up and Sunday brunch I'm at the shore and Sunday brunch is dropping, yeah, and I catch it on the right Saturday, I was there. But I wasn't driving out of my way to be able to get there for every release. Like a lot of the guys that are here. I mean, Squatch Fest, if you want to talk about what bottle's going to be open more than anything here, there's more Kane in those coolers out there than anything else. Because these are Kane guys. These are Troon guys. And that's great. But those are breweries that aren't close to me. To me, Magnify was my brewery that in New Jersey that was the closest thing that I could get to something within 45 minutes that wasn't in Brooklyn.
That's good.
You know, and I have, you know, everything goes around relationships. I mean, Eric Ruta is one of my close friends. I've done a lot of, I've poured for them at events. Amber and I have done that. I like the kid. I love their styles of beer. They brew the kind of beer that I drink. So to me, to not say Eric and Magnify, I'd kind of like probably, you know, get a text message after this thing. But I think Kane, Magnify, for me, outside of the Troons, and, you know, if you're talking about Referend, obviously, but I've taken Referend off my list for the simple fact that they're not going to be in Jersey anymore.
Correct.
I mean, Wild Ale's in New Jersey, Referend. I mean, Blue Book is one of my favorite beers.
It's great beer.
So, definitely, it's really, to me, it's where you're from, what's close to you, what you drink the most of, so.
And it's the style, you know? If you want to have a stout, You know, a lot of people love the, you know, Troon stouts. Kane makes so many stouts and porters. It would be hard to justify saying that any other brewery in New Jersey is the top stout.
And now they're in Wild Ales. I mean, come on. And their stuff, their Wild Ales are amazing. They're really, everything I've had from them in their, Field & Oak? Is that?
Yeah, Field & Oak, yeah.
So what I'm hearing from you is that Kane might be the best brewery in New Jersey. That's what I gathered from this.
I think most well-rounded now that they have every single aspect.
That's a great way to put it.
Every single aspect of it. And that's, you know, why is Hill Farmstead considered the best brewery in the world? Because every single style they do,
that's right,
is great.
They brew the hardest beers to brew.
Would I reach for a Kane IPA before any everybody else's? No, definitely not.
Correct.
But barrel age, there's not too many. There's not too many breweries in New Jersey that are going to do better barrel age stouts, or you know, other brown style that besides Kane. So now that they have the wild ale part of their repertoire, it's hard not to say that they're the best.
You just opened a beer for us to try. This is from across the pond, Mills Brewing. This is Running Beer, 2018. Oh, nice. Oh, you treat us very well, sir. This is awesome. I like, you know, I think we've talked about this before. Some of the beers from, you know, across the pond that are not just Cantillon, not just Dreyfontaine, there's a lot of good stuff that people need to check out. I think Mills is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I mean, people ask me, like, okay, well, what's your deal with Mills? And
what does that mean?
And I'm like, you know, like, why, you know, if you're trading, if when I dove into that, when I jumped off the cliff of trading internationally, everybody was trading for 3F. Everybody was trading for Cantillon. And I did, too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was reaching for it, too. But I was looking for something that was new. And something like, well, you know, a lot of my traders were UK, and Mills was the name that kept popping up. And I was literally on them early on. And I don't, honestly, I love the fact that it's not, you know, everybody doesn't know about it.
Right.
My whole thing with Mills is I like to be the guy that brings it to a share, can introduce it to somebody and say, hey, this is something different that you've never had. They brew a lot of different styles of wild ales. Some I love, some are I'm a little bit indifferent to, but I have a cellar full of it. It's my little, you know, like people have wine cellars and people have that stuff. I love to just have a bottle that I can pull out, bring to a share, bring to a nice dinner that Amber and I are doing, and pretty much 90% of the beers that I have from them, I enjoy.
And for those of you out there who maybe haven't had Mills and they're like, how the hell do I get my hands on it? A site like Etra Gourmet, you can get Cantillon, you can get Dreyfontaine.
That's right.
You can get the, you know, occasional Boca Rider. You can get, you know, things like that. You can find Mills on there occasionally. It's something to look at if that's what you're looking
for. And that's Etre Gourmet. It's only on Facebook. You access their website through Facebook.
You can also put the URL.
Put the URL, but their releases are dropped on Facebook.
Yeah,
right?
If Mills does a release, you can ship through there. First time I ever used them was a lot of my 3F, you know, releases that give an option to the U.S. customers to have the beer shipped here. It's not cheap, but it's good. It's convenient. It doesn't revolve around a proxy. COVID really changed the game over there because everything over there really is about, you know, it's different here. I think COVID kind of brought us to a point here in the United States where it was about ordering online and shipping and stuff. And this is stuff that over in Europe, they're like, shit, we've been doing this for forever.
I'll tell you what, right? I mean, obviously, you know, we've talked about this. One of the few good things to come out of the last few years was how many breweries are doing proxies and things like that. So, great. Listen, thank you for bringing this beer. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for joining us once again.
Of course.
We're going to talk about some releases. Some local releases, some national releases coming up right after this.
We're hand-delivered it. It's fine. I don't care.
Season 2, Episode 10, America the Brutiful. We're here at Squatch Fest. Guys, you didn't think we were going to do releases, right? Because we're going to do them right now. But before we do them and talk about them, there is a beautiful beer that Scott's...
Oh, beautiful beer.
Beautiful beer that Scott's wife opened up.
Without Scott knowing, I think.
All of a sudden, I just get one of the guests from Squatch Fest, my friend Greg, just comes and goes, Amber's out there pouring a barrel-aged Rocky Road. Oh, okay. Like, she took it out of the bag and just opened it. And it's her beer. My beer is her beer. But I think that's awesome that she did that. And, you know, she loves to be able to pour beer for people.
I was hoping she would pull a Don Q out or, you know... batch one KBBS.
Yeah, no, I don't have those. Well, but so I'm not. This is about as.
But Dan, this is a big. This is a big beer for you. Yeah.
So this is one of my favorite beers of all time. We'll see how it's held up with time.
Is this a Hallway 5?
This is a Dan Hallway 5.
God, I hope this thing.
Yes, I hope it. I hope it holds up because one of my favorite beers of all time.
Did you get this one?
Okay, so let's talk about local releases. We talked a lot about Kane before. Here are a few things that Kane released this week. Pumpkin Spice Morning Bell, ooh, Urgency of Now, which is a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout, aged for 17 months in single 7-year Buffalo Trace bourbon barrel. And this is one I think you, Tom, will be very interested in. Turning the Tide. They did it before. 12.4% bourbon barrel aged barley wine, aged in single 4-year Willett barrels for 26 months.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I like that.
This is the second time they released these beers. And like last year, all of the proceeds from the sale of these bottles are donated to At Do Social Justice. That's in honor of Oz Cruz, who passed away.
That's right.
We talked a little bit about that when he did. Tragic loss for the beer community. The New Jersey Institute for Social Justice, that's where the proceeds are going. And they also released Carousel House.
That's great.
8% IPA, inspired by that historic carousel building in the middle of Asbury Park.
The Seed.
And this is one I think Scott should definitely talk about. We'll talk about the next two, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Scott, why don't you fill us in on the Seed here?
So the Seed, we all talked about this, you know, the unfortunate events of the barrel, you know, being lost at sea. So,
right, you
know,
of course.
What happens after that is you need to, you know, kind of, you know, correct an injustice.
Got to get back on horse.
So this past Thursday, I mean, I was actually invited to this, but, you know, our day jobs, you know, kind of make it so that you can't do everything. Sung, the head brewer of District, and Perry, one of the other assistant brewers and packaging specialists, went down and spent the day with Sean and Amanda, and they brewed. Is it a double IPA? I mean, do we know that?
So they haven't even mentioned it. Yeah, you might have divulged some information. You know,
what does everybody want to do with District? Is it a double IPA or an IPA?
Sure.
Yeah, that's definitely what happened. Sung was down there. I talked to Sung last night. He had a good time. He actually said he handled some brewing equipment, where these collabs usually a lot of times are just as long as it's not Justin.
Yeah,
Justin wasn't allowed to touch anything. John didn't even make it down. John literally was working in the kitchen on Thursday. So, but yes, you can definitely expect within the next couple weeks a Seed District 96 IPA.
And you got a few re-releases too, don't you?
District is going to, I mean, doing this week, besides the Lost Tavern, which with the event we talked about last time, which we're going to be going out this weekend. There's going to be a Lost Tavern collab dropping at District. There's a little Brooklyn brewery we all kind of know.
Oh, I think I know what you might be talking about.
So there's a collab that they've done in the past.
Oh.
So that might be dropping this coming week. So those are two beers from District to look out for is Lost Tavern and some Brooklyn brewery.
And the Seed said that they think that beer with District 96 may wind up being one of the 5 cans that they release for their anniversary party that's coming up.
Very good.
Do we know what date that is?
We don't. They haven't disclosed it's coming up. We actually talked to them, and that's funny because it's about a little over a year from today that we interviewed them right before they actually opened.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know if it was going to be when I'm down in AC in 2 weeks. That's what I'm really
hopefully.
That's
hopefully
what I was hoping for.
Equilibrium, also Project Blue Mountain Batch 2, which comes a week after Project Yemen.
Great beer.
Project Yemen is currently a 4.5 and change on Untappd. Project Blue Mountain Batch 1 was a 4.39. That was a great beer.
That was an amazing beer.
That was a great beer.
Amazing. That whole series with Mostra was, I mean, anything that EQ does with Mostra Coffee, I mean, Mike from Mostra is, it's a home run. It should be a quick sellout on Eventbrite.
Tin Barn released a ton of stuff, so we'll go back and forth here. The Blackhearted Queen, 9.8% IPA. Sixth Harvest, 8.8% New England IPA.
I also have an Oatmeal Cookie Stout, which is draft only. Ooh, gotta go there to try it out, but it's 14%.
Wait, you better get to the beer that I'm thinking of. Go ahead, keep going.
Next we have Pinata.
There it is.
There we go. A Candy Explosion, Gummy Bears, Swedish Fish, and Nerds.
Dude, I drank this beer last night.
Oh, did you? How was it?
Yes.
It was crazy.
Really? I'm telling you that this is not your this is not your mom and dad's fruited sour. Like this thing, we all like. I mean, I'm not a fruited sour guy. This is not my jam. Like kettle sours, like it's not my thing. When I tell you that this thing brings you back to like my initial reaction was Kool-Aid, right? And then John and Rob were drinking it. Justin's drinking it. Like all these guys at District, we had a can the night before it released.
Everybody said Sweet Tarts. It's
wow. This is a beer that you hope your kids don't find out this about thing, because then they're going to start early.
It's got that little sour tinge on the end. I mean, I'm telling you, if Tin Barn has not hit a home run and not found a series that they can continue with different flavors, go get it, find it, try it. And this is coming from a dude that does not drink those kind of beers.
Very good.
And Tom, somebody that you've, I'll say, dealt with before, the Central Jersey Beer Mule is here hanging out at Squatch Fest.
Correct.
And he has gone to Fiden's before, and there's a release at Fiden's.
There's a release at Fiden's called Lauren's Axe. It's an 8.5% double IPA with Strata and Galaxy hops. Awesome. Awesome.
That's Tin Barn.
Yeah.
Tin Barn.
Awesome.
Tin Barn collab.
Fantastic. And also, just randomly, they said that hot apple cider and apple cider slushies are available, non-alcoholic, at the brewery, but you can booze it up, too. Like, that sounds fun and dangerous.
It's a win-win.
Pretty sure those are gone.
That's the word of the day.
Probably,
yes. There's the word Fiden's before it, it's gone.
Yes.
Brick City releasing Ocean Walker, 6% pale ale, and a re-release of Island and Heady Jams.
Magnify, who we mentioned before. I want to talk about the first one because a bunch of people tagged me in this. You can hear in the background,
X-Files,
this is the X-Files music. This is Squatch Fest. This is very appropriate for where we are. And Magnify did something that also might be a little spooky for some people. Sunday Gravy, 7% Neapolitan ice cream inspired smoothie style stout.
Sounds delicious. Doesn't sound spooky.
This sounds insane.
I'm Italian. We call it sauce, but I know it's an ice cream. I know it's not. Yeah.
They said this. We took the same smoothie style process we use for smoothie style sours and gave it a go on a sessionable stout recipe. Disallowing re-fermentation allows the flavors of ice cream, strawberry, and cocoa nibs to really shine. Like all of our ice cream beers, open the can slowly and be ready with the glass in case of excess foam.
That was for Tom.
Oh, boy. They've also got Lake Magnify, a re-release of Reserve Triple IPA, and Free Throw, the newest addition to their NBA Jam-inspired series. Next up, we got Twin Elephant.
So they released Product of a Misspent Youth, American Double IPA, Cashmere Citra and Nuconaut, and Slow Flows Remarkable, an American Double IPA with Strata. Super cool. And now Double Nickel. We talked about them. We haven't had a lot from them. They have a big anniversary release.
A huge anniversary release. What anniversary? It's their ninth.
Yeah.
Or on the ninth.
Saturday the ninth. That's Saturday. Today.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Their... the release, they did an anniversary triple IPA. They did Bloody Ripa 420 Bonza Shuf Rampa.
Ooh.
That's a real name. It's a hazy IPA double dry hop with Galaxy and Nelson.
Cosmic Reflection, Vice City, Volksgeist, Vesperate Vines 1, Vesperate Vines 2. I mean, these guys are just hitting out of the park.
That's right. Two.
If you're going to go somewhere, Double Nickel, it's in New Jersey. I don't know what town it is, but you know what? Look it up. If you got a weekend to spend next week, go check it out.
Two barrel-aged stouts, so that's pretty cool. Evil Twin NYC, Evil Fusion, collab with Woven Water, Sour Ale with Apple Cranberry, Vanilla Soft Serve, Cinnamon Graham Cracker.
So that's one a little close to my heart.
That sounds really cool, and you know Woven Water.
I know Jay and Sierra there, and I think they made a trip not too long ago to New York City and must have hit it off with Jeppe or Anthony or the crew from Evil Twin, because this is huge for them. I mean, not only that, getting this collab done. I mean, this was something where they actually flew back up from Tampa to be here for the release.
That's cool.
But they got an invitation to Pastry Town.
I saw that.
I mean, that's...
I'm excited for that.
Like, I think one of your next few episodes should be talking about some of the breweries that are coming to Pastry Town. I mean,
oh, who will be?
And Jay and Sierra getting that invite, I know personally that meant a lot to them as an up-and-coming brewer, and to get a collab with Evil Twin, I mean, that's big time. Like, that's I'm so proud of them, and I'm so happy for them with this kind of stuff, with this big news.
You may be hearing the music in the background. There is a DJ now playing. Squatch Fest is heating up.
Is it DJ Batman? Is this
maybe?
Let's go to the national releases.
All right, sure.
All right, national releases. We've got Side Project, Coconut Vibes 2021, and Royal Grove, right? Coconut Vibes. If you don't know what Coconut Vibes is, get out underneath your fucking rock and start paying attention, because Coconut Vibes has been around for a few years. It's a beautiful Russian Imperial stout that they put on every year.
I got through on that one, so I have that coming to me.
I have it too. Proxies were allowed.
There
got
we go.
It.
There we
Corporate
go.
Ladder, we've talked about them. Love that brewery. Double barrel release. So two double barrel beers that they release.
Is Dan contractually obligated to talk about Corporate Ladder?
Yeah. I am just I have to put it in there, man, because I love them.
Oh, great. I visited them, I told you guys, when I was in Tampa because of literally primarily because of you guys. And everything I had them was great. So I'm not surprised we're talking about them.
So they did a double barrel barley wine aged in 7-year Weller barrels for 15 months. Then transferred to apple brandy barrels for another 5 months, for a total of 20 months in oak, double barrel dissolution. Awesome.
Give it to me.
I have it, so you'll have it.
Very good. Angry Chair, Dan, your favorite brewery.
That's right. So Follow the Blood is a beer that they're coming out with. We've only seen the label. It looks like a Cannibal Corpse collab, so like one of the biggest names in death metal doing a collab with Angry Chair. Sign me up.
Bottle Logic Applied Science. This is a berry pie inspired bourbon barrel aged imperial stout. Interesting.
It's crazy.
I don't know if they pull that off, but I'd like to try it.
And then finally, let's talk about Trillium, BA Affogato, brewed in collaboration with Jay Wakefield. The original version of this was a huge whale at one point. Came back out. And that's super cool.
That's right. Guys, we want to thank you very much for joining us. Scott, pleasure. You kind of facilitated this whole thing. The reason that we're here really is because of you.
I just thought that this is something that everybody should kind of know about. I've come to Squash Fest for the 5 years, I think. And, I mean, Eddie, Bobby, Tom, all of the guys that put this together, this is like their fun.
It's a passion
project.
It's
what they want to do. It's not about, you know, there's no tickets. There's no anything. Literally, if you know somebody that's coming, you can get an invite. I made sure that Christian from Ghost Hawk came today. I wanted to make sure, like, I thought this was a good opportunity for us to talk with America the Brutiful here today. I mean, it's, you know, maybe not something that everybody knows about or whatnot, but it's a cool little event.
Yes.
It's, you know, a very cool
it's
event.
It's fun, and it's a share in somebody's backyard that took a lot of time to make sure that the food, the beer is on point, and that everybody has a good time. I could be down at Sally Gaster in D.C. right now. But I'm good right here, honestly.
And shout out to our friend at Evil Twin, Ridge Beers, down at Sally Gaster. Also a lot of other local breweries there as well. Yeah.
Guys, until next time, drink up and stay beautiful.
Good stuff.
'Cause I'm overtime, and I'm over the line. Come over to mine, I already left. You want to rhyme, bitch, I'm so deaf. You ready to shine? I'm already blind. You already lying. A nigga ain't buying what you selling. Always open 7-Eleven. When I flow, niggas know. Here come tsunami. You got a bucket list. My list is Bugatti. You that drowning kid at the pool party. I'm that carnivore over your body. They call me Sasquatch. Please check the watch. This is Bigfoot. Don't get it shook. Out in Japan, they call me Godzilla. Up in Africa, King Kong Gorilla. Don't make me put this foot up in your ass. Don't do it. Don't make me put this foot up in your ass. Don't make me put this foot up in your ass. What you do? Bring it on down and give me my cash. You's a fucking prick, but I'm Moby Dick. I'm Darth Vader, you Obi-Wan Kenobi, bitch. He's Jim Kelly, y'all. I'm Terry Bradshaw. He is baby ass. I'm like diaper rash. I'm like stinking trash. I'm like party crash. Like getting caught with hash. I'm like your stolen cash. I like you feeling bad. They call me Slap Rock. I like the whole country looking at the dead clock. Pyroclastic flow. This is Pompeii. Whoever in the way, turn you into clay. Call me out my name, and that's a hurricane. I'll send the wind and the water and the pouring rain. I am boring, man. I am snoring, man. I'm the pain that's wearing off the Novocaine. I'm the weight you gain. I make your titties hang. I'm that crowded train that just hit the main. They call me Sasquatch. Please check the watch. This is Bigfoot. Don't get it shook. Out in Japan, they call me Godzilla. Up in Africa, King Kong Gorilla. They call me Sasquatch. Please check the watch. This is Bigfoot. Big dog.